The fact that a man, a Christian man, and a Christian woman are both saved is no guarantee that their marriage will succeed. Did you know that? There's no guarantee just because I'm a Christian, my marriage is going to succeed.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Hello once again, and thank you for tuning in. Pastor Bill studying the epistle of 1 Peter continues today with the conclusion to the message, Submission, the Role of the Wife. Now here's Pastor.
Now, Sarah is a role model here. Remember what her name means? Princess. So she's the role model, and she's the spiritual mother, if you will, of all women who do these things, just as Abraham is the father of all the spiritual men and so forth that come to Christ. Now, with all that being said, Sarah, as we know, was a woman of faith, and we need to be people of faith. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. So Sarah obeyed Abraham. Submitted to Abraham, and look what she, again, calling him Lord. Say that with me, calling him Lord. What in the world does that mean? You know, last night, Saturdays are hard days for me, meaning that's when I prepare and I'm here all day long, get home maybe late. And that's also the day that, you know, Rebecca, she is getting the house ready and cleaned and maybe washing. Very, very busy. Man, so last night she was worn out. I was worn out. She went to bed. She fell into that bed and said, Lord, I'm tired. And I said, honey, listen. We're in the privacy of our own bedroom. You can call me Bill. You know? You don't have to call me Lord. I saw it's all right. She just heard that. She's in the nursery. I may not be here the second service. Now listen. Let's get this. I'm cheesing, of course. But when did Sarah, and under what circumstances did Sarah call him Lord, and what did that mean? Well, it was when she was hiding in the tent. Amen? Remember, she was hiding in the tent in Genesis 18, and the Lord and a couple of angels came by, and remember, Abraham prepared food and so forth. And let me read it to you in Genesis 18:9. And then they said to Abraham, well, where's Sarah, your wife? And so he said, well, here in the tent. And he said, well, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Now, Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. And now Abraham and Sarah, they were old, well advanced in years. Isn't that a nice way to say you're old? Well advanced in years. And Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, listen carefully, what did Sarah do when she heard that word? Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. She didn't laugh out loud. She laughed inside. She was probably holding her mouth, you know, and saying, oh, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? What was she doing right then? That wasn't worshiping him. That was the same thing that women are to do. Okay, Ephesians 5:33. Wives, see that you love your husbands and that you reverence or respect him. Amen? That's what that meant. And it says, and the Lord said to Abram, well, why did Sarah laugh? Surely shall I bear a child since I'm old? And he says, anything too hard or too difficult for the Lord, at the appointed time I'll return according to the time of life, and Sarah will have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I didn't laugh. Can you believe she said that to the Lord? I didn't laugh. And for she was afraid. And he said, yeah, you did laugh too. Don't mess with God. Amen. Even though she laughed within herself, see, God knows everything. Now, she said, I know that you can do everything. Do you believe that God can do everything? Sarah believed that. It says in Hebrews 11:11, by faith, Sarah also received strength to conceive seed. She bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now listen very carefully. This part here is when most people, I really believe, miss what I'm about to say. And that's why it is always important, loved one, when you study privately for yourself or you study with your family together, you know, really dig into God's Word. Get you a little where you can break down what the words actually mean in the Greek or Hebrew. Amen? So I want you to look back with me, if you don't mind, at the end of verse 6. At the end of verse 6, okay, where it says, well, it says, "And Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid of any what? Terror." Now, that word is only found right here in the New Testament, okay? And so it basically is saying, Peter's saying, okay, you're married to an unbeliever, and they could be bad. You're a Christian wife, and they don't like what you've done. They don't even like the way you're living. So it's saying right here that the wife was not to fear the unbelieving husband's intimidation, if you will. And we want to be careful now because, see, you can get into the role of the wife, the role of the husband, in the following verses, and in a way you can forget why 1 Peter was written. It was written because they were suffering, amen? And this is what he's saying right here about suffering. Matter of fact, suffering is mentioned 17 times in 1 Peter, okay? So this is what they're talking about. So wives with unbelieving husbands then and even now, they knew that, okay, I became a Christian, and they knew, man, that they might suffer because of it. Does that make sense? And that is a true word. It says here, it says, even by doing good, that means even though you're submitting, you're submissive to your unbelieving husband, even though you do what the Bible says and you're respecting your unbelieving husband, that doesn't mean he's going to treat you right. I pray he does, but it doesn't mean that at all. He might even want to get rid of you because you're following Jesus. Matter of fact, the New Living Translation puts verse 6 like this. It says, "You are her daughters when you do right without fear of what your husbands might do." I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. As you do, I want to ask you a question. A Christian wife married to an unbeliever, or even a believer, but here an unbeliever, are you to submit to anything he does? I mean, if he's treating you like a dog, are you to submit to that? Okay, I want you to, let's make application here, beginning in verse, was it 10 I said? Okay, now, 7:10, 1 Corinthians 7:10. Now, Paul here is answering questions from a previous letter that they wrote to him, okay? And he says in verse 10, "Now to the married," okay, married believers, "I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband." You're not to separate, you're not to divorce. "But even if she does depart," now he's going to give them two choices that are given. Watch this. "Even if she does depart, let her then," what? "Remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife." Now we know that in this case right here, it can't be for adultery because if one party commits adultery, Jesus said you could divorce your spouse. Amen? Okay. So we know it's not adultery. It's just leaving. Now we come to what we're talking about this morning. He says, now, "but to the rest." That means Christians married to unbelievers, okay? "Now to the rest, I, not the Lord." So it's coming from Paul, and when he says, "not the Lord," he means Jesus has no teaching on this in the Gospels, okay? So he says, "I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe," in other words, she's an unbeliever, "and she's willing to live with him," living with him as a believer, "well, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he's willing to live with her, let her not divorce him." Now listen, what's being spoken here is about those who came to Christ while they were married. For example, what we're studying, wives became Christians during their marriage. They weren't Christians in the beginning. Now she's a Christian, but he's not a Christian, or vice versa. So it's no different today. I've seen it all. I mean, you have couples that marry today, they're both unbelievers, but 5 years, 6 years, whatever it is, all of a sudden, maybe the wife, since we're talking about women, she hears the good news of Jesus Christ. She gives her heart to Christ Jesus. She's born from above, man. She's different. And then what happens? The husband, he's going to listen. I don't know who you are anymore. And so forth, and because he's not saved. It says in verse 14, watch this now. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, meaning the Christian wife. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband, meaning the Christian husband. Otherwise, your children would be what? Unclean. But now they are holy. What does that mean? It means that they are holy by association. Holiness is something that's not transferable, loved one. Amen? So what is it saying right here? It's saying that the believer, whichever one the believer is, the blessing on the marriage, on the home, on the child, on the unbelieving spouse comes from the one who is a Christian. And if the person who is not a Christian says, I'm out of here, the blessing doesn't go with that person. It's on the believer only. But if the unbeliever departs or divorces, whatever, let him depart. Say that with me. Let him depart. This is unbelievable here. That is not a suggestion. That is not even an option. It's a command, an imperative in the Greek. It says, but let him depart. In other words, don't deny what they want to do. Let them depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to what? Peace. Listen, a house divided, can it stand? No, it can't. And so marriage, loved one, is a mutual relationship, not a unilateral. No, it takes two to tango. Amen? Now, if you are married to an unbeliever, and this is sad, and they say to you, wow, we were so happy. Everything was so good. And now you're just one of those Bible-thumping Jesus freaks or whatever. You know what I mean. And you know, our marriage, it's not the same. You're not the same. We don't go and do the same things together anymore. You're a Christian, and I don't get it. I don't understand why you'd believe in some kind of fairy tale like that. I don't want your Jesus. I don't want your friends, and I certainly don't like your crazy pastor, you know, at all. He says, I don't want this kind of life, and I don't want this kind of wife, man, and I'm leaving you. I do not want you. You're not the woman that I loved. You're totally different, and I want out of this marriage. What do you do? Well, the command says, let them depart. Isn't that heartbreaking? Because you married because you loved one another. Man, the believer in here, what it says, you're not under bondage in such cases. And if you look at that word in the Greek, under bondage, it's a strong word. It means you're not in slavery to this marriage any longer. You're no longer bound. You know, you are a Christian. You're no longer obligated. And in the eyes of God, the unbeliever has done something. He has broken the marriage vows, a bond of marriage which is intended for life, not just a short period of time. And if we studied the whole text, you'd find out that then the unbeliever left. The believer is now free to marry, but only in the Lord. Look at verse 16. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you'll save your wife? In other words, you are a powerful influence. But see, that takes us right to Peter, doesn't it? To what we're learning. Now listen, the Bible teaches that marriage is dissolved by three things. In Romans, what is it? Romans 7:2, I believe it is. It's dissolved by death. Matthew 19, I don't know, someplace in there, 9 or 19. Jesus said by adultery. It doesn't have to be. You can restore a marriage, okay? But that is a justification, it says. And then, of course, if the unbeliever departs. Now, from my own belief, and I believe what I'm about to tell you with all my heart, I believe there's a fourth thing, and that is this. When a woman, a Christian woman, comes into my office, if they have over the years, and they are beaten so badly, I tell her to run. You get out of that house. God has not called you. The husband is supposed to nourish your body as you're one flesh, amen? And to treat each other as one. You're not two people, you're one in God's eyes. And for a husband to take his fist and beat a woman, there's something wrong, amen? And God didn't call anyone to that, all right? Now, but with all that being said, I want to close, and I want you to listen to me, because I'm going to give two words. Wives, I'm going to give a word to the wives, then I'm going to give a word to the husband. And this comes from observation. And I think it's critical. And so a word to the wives about that one word, submit. We all know that that word comes from God. It's not a bad word. Amen? Okay, it's a wonderful word. And I know, and I say this with no judgment, I say with love in my heart, I know that some well-meaning wives, and they are well-meaning, they love the Lord, and they love their husband, they want their husbands to tell them what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. Why? Because they don't want to make any decisions themselves. Because if it's wrong, who's going to be? You see what I'm getting at? And so they fall into that trap. So some married Christian women, they actually find submission a relief. It's a relief, man. But here's the problem. It's not true biblical submission. Does that make sense? Are y'all with me? Okay. And some well-meaning Christian women, they love the Lord, they love their husbands, but they turn the teaching of mutual submission in God's word into sloth or laziness. In other words, why do I need to be a student of God's word? Why do I need to have a prayer life? Why do I need to discover my calling or my gifting? You know, I don't need to do any of that when all of God's leading comes not through me, it comes through my husband. That is not true. Do you understand me? That's not true, loved one. That's not true biblical submission. Remember Ephesians 5:21, talking about husband and wives. Submitting yourselves, there's that word, submitting yourselves one to what? Another. Husband and wife, submitting yourselves, Christian husband, Christian wife, one to another in the fear of the Lord. What does that mean? It means if you don't do it God's way, you don't fear the Lord. It means it's not the husband's will. It's not the wife's will. It's mutual submission. It means both of you say, we just want God's will. Amen? See, if it's not the fear of the Lord, no, God said this. Oh, well, Uncle Henry says we ought to have our marriage. No, 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 no. God says. See, if you don't do it God's way, you don't fear the Lord. Okay? Can I say that? Of course I can. It's very, very important. So listen, wife, you are so vital. I don't do anything without telling my wife. Man, we look at it together. She's my helpmate. I need a helpmate, believe me. And here, I'm going to tell you something. And most of the time, she's got it down better than me. And I look at her wisdom, at her insight. She's got incredible insight and things I can't even see. Wife, you are important. Do you understand? Matter of fact, the word helpmate from Genesis means this. You complete the man. Yeah. Oh, never mind. Okay. A word to husbands about that word submit. Submit is not your word. It's God's word. Do you understand? It's not your word. It's the word of God. The only authority that you have in the home with your family is delegated authority. That's it. It comes from God. You know, God didn't call you to be the dictator. Amen? Yeah, listen, there's no place in God's word where it says, husbands, make your wife submit. You won't find that. But you know what it does say? Ephesians 5:25, husbands, agape, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That is a command and it's not an option. You're to love her God's way. Very, very important. Now listen to me. Success in marriage is not finding the right person. Success in marriage is becoming the right person. In other words, when you do it God's way. I want to say this the way I wrote it down last night. I want to make sure I get it just right. The fact that a man, a Christian man, and a Christian woman are both saved is no guarantee that their marriage will succeed. Did you know that? There's no guarantee just because I'm a Christian, my marriage is going to succeed. Look at the marriage rate today among Christians. So just because I'm a believer in Christ Jesus and my wife is a believer in Christ Jesus, that's not a guarantee unless I submit myself and go to the one and allow the one who created marriage to shape my marriage and be the Lord of my marriage. Amen? That's the only way. Is marriage God's way or it's marriage your way? And if it's marriage your way, you're saying that your wisdom is greater than the one who created you and the one who created marriage and the one who created your wife. Man, listen, when Jesus is the Lord of your marriage and you do what he says, you're going to make it. It's when you don't do what the Lord says. Religious people can destroy a Christian's heart. When the Pharisees and the religious leaders, when they brought the woman, remember, in adultery to Jesus, oh, Lord, Jesus, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. The law of Moses said we should stone her. What did you say, Jesus? But they were testing him, remember? Do you think that the Pharisees cared about that woman? No, they didn't care. You know what that woman was to them? A thing. They wanted to use her to get whatever they wanted. Say, what are you going to do? You know what Jesus did? He forgave her. Amen? Whenever Christians, pastors, whenever the church starts treating those who go through a divorce, those who are suffering gender dysphoria, those who are addicted and they're on drugs or whatever it might be, those whose husband beat them or left them, when we start treating others as a thing, Christianity's dead. It's dead because Christianity doesn't bring forth death. Christianity brings forth life and life everlasting. People that are hurting, they don't need to be treated like a thing. They need to have the unconditional and love and support of a body of Christ like you. They're saying, we're here for you. We're going to pray with you. We're going to stand with you. And we're not going to let you down. You know, maybe you're here this morning. Your marriage is in trouble. If it is, are you man enough? Are you woman enough to go to the one who created you and created marriage and say, I need help, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed? With no one looking around, let this just be a holy moment, please, to where you're honest before God, not honest before me, but husbands, if your marriage is in trouble, let's take it to God right now. No one looking around, but if that's you, would you just lift your hand and put it right back down and say, Bill, I want prayer right now. God bless you. That's right. That's right. God bless. Yes, yes, yes. God bless. Yes. Yes, thank you, thank you. Anyone else before we pray, say, Bill, that's me, my marriage, I'm in trouble. Yes, Father, you saw the hands which signified faith in their heart, requesting healing, requesting that their marriage be made strong, and that, Lord, things that are falling apart, that you could put them back together. Oh, Lord, what you have join together. Let no man, let no thing, no obstacle tear it apart, put it asunder. Lord, in Jesus' name, at this holy time, this holy moment over the marriages, whatever is lacking, would you fill it? Whatever is needed for correction or whatnot, would you heal it? And Lord God, let a new assurance and a new zeal and a new love fill the hearts of every married couple. For life is short. Live in Jesus' name. And we all say, Amen.
Pastor Bill's First Peter study continues on our next broadcast, and we want to thank you for listening along with us today. Be blessed, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth.
For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.